This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
A busy time with the Oregon State Legislature in session, though certainly as you've been hearing about being handled differently this year. Thought we'd check in with State Representative Gary Leaf this afternoon. Gary, thanks for being on the program.
Good morning, Kyle. How's it going with you? You know, it's always good to be with you on your program. You know, our crazy legislative session continues to move forward. You know, even though we had this snowmageddon up in, North Portland, up in that area. Remember, we had that like 2 years ago. I hope everybody up in the north part of the state is safe and recovering from the severe storms. But you had like 300,000 people without power. So good luck on topics today. I feel like it's a Christmas of topics. I have no idea where you're going to go today.
Well, there are so many things to talk about. By the way, I didn't realize this until I saw a post this morning. Today actually is the anniversary of Snowmageddon 2 years ago in Douglas County.
Yep. I remember it well. We were up in Salem when that happened, and on our way back down, and it was unbelievable, all the trees just laying over, just coming down on the I-5 corridor. It was crazy.
Well, we haven't had that in this part of the state this year, but it seems like we've had everything else. I mean, with COVID-19, with restrictions, with different issues related to that, add in the wildfires in the mix, there's no shortage of topics that need attention. Yet at the same time, for lawmakers, you are given the task of dealing with the state, the budget, and going through things. I imagine there's a lot happening in terms of shifting things due to the spending priorities and a declining amount of revenue in the past few months.
Yeah, and our forecast came out, and I haven't really had a chance to really look at that yet. You know, we're expecting about a $2 billion shortfall right now. I think it's $1.79 billion. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm on two subways and means committees. One's transportation and economic development, and the other one's on public safety. But then I'm on full ways and means. So that's really going to be difficult this year.
And what have people been talking about so far? Because, I mean, there's two parts to this. There's a part that there's been less revenue, yet there has been greater need to help out in a lot of areas. I understand that some state agencies have been, told to prepare for a certain percentage of cuts, yet at the same time, they're saying they need more money.
Yeah, across the board, the governor asked for 10% cuts. And in most of the agencies, I'm seeing them prepare a 10% cut, but at the same time, they do exactly what you're saying is, we are, doing what the governor asked, but this is really not going to be adequate for us to handle, like DHS, Human Services. Where you look at the children that, are going to start going back to school and, the kids that are going to be facing some abuse, we need to make sure that we're ramped up for that. We've got to make sure that our foster kids program is, organized and we need to fund it. And you can't do that with a 10% cut. So, and you can go across the board on a lot of different things. Public safety is the same thing. How do you do a 10% cut, when you're trying to keep, Oregonians safe? So it's going to be real difficult.
And we've got the wildfire issues in the mix as well. Now, some of the help there came from the federal level, certainly, but there have been other things that have fallen on the state to deal with and still a cleanup needing to take place in a number of these areas.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the stories coming out, but they've got 100-plus log trucks a day coming off of our, our fire up the North Umpqua. And so they're trying as hard as they can to get to these logs before the beetles get to them. And, that's the biggest thing. And I think in our county, we're stellar. I think we're doing a great job. But I saw the numbers the other day, and it was just staggering. Of all the fires we had in Oregon, And all the logs that are down, we're only going to be logging about 2% of them. And so 98% are going to just sit there, and they're going to be eaten up by beetles, and then they're going to be kindling for the next fire.
And what can lawmakers do to make a change there?
So a lot of that is federal. So, you know, we don't, the state doesn't own all these federal lands. So the federal, you know, Congress is going to have to enact something on that. But the problem is they can't do it fast enough. You've got to do this within like 6 months of those fires. So, you know, they can go in and they can do tree safety, hazard, you know, collection and all that kind of stuff. But they're limited on exactly what they can do. And that's, like I say, not from the state. That's the feds.
So you've got all these areas, and then you've got the routine areas of state government as well. Now, under the pandemic, one of the departments that's gotten a lot of criticism is the employment department. Where do things stand there now?
The last time I heard, we were at about 200,000 unemployment a week. The employment department said they're keeping up on that for the most part. My emails have gone way down. I was getting 2, 3, 4, 10 emails a day from constituents, and now I'm down to 1 or 2 a week. So I think they've really ramped up, and they've got that under control. But here we go again. We're going to be shutting down, you know, and, you know, so they're going to see this big surge back into the employment division again.
Let's talk about that. Here in Douglas County, we go to the extreme risk level on Friday. A lot of talk about that, especially as we're one of only 3 counties in the entire state to see our risk level go up at a time that other counties are going down. In fact, even Washington and Clackamas County, who were in extreme for months, it seemed, are now down to not just high, they're going to moderate level on Friday. And at the same time, we're going up. Why is that?
What an unbelievable situation. You know, first I want to reiterate that the pandemic response falls, you know, to our Board of Commissioners. And I thought their release on Tuesday was stellar. It was accurate, timely, and well presented. And despite numerous requests from the legislature, the governor really continues to operate in this vacuum of executive orders that seem to ignore local facts. We have 1% or less infections coming from bars and restaurants and gyms. However, those small business owners are the ones that are going to be closed again. But the big box stores get to stay open. So I'm prohibited from going to have a pizza at Old Soul, but I can stand in line with dozens of people to buy pizza ingredients at Fred Meyer. You know, I appreciate the devastating pandemic issues of this outbreak, but I fear that the cure in Oregon is going to be much worse than the actual disease. And Kyle, I want you to know I spoke with the governor on Sunday because I saw the numbers, and I tried to appeal to her to not close restaurants. But she really denied that request despite our numbers when I was saying less than 1%. So how about if we regionalize these numbers? So if we've got Douglas County with 4, right? And there were about 300 COVID cases. So 4 were attributed to the restaurants and the gyms. But if you regionalize them, I'll bet there were none in Reedsport. I bet there's none in North County or South County. So why are those areas closed? I mean, if the science is right, why can't restaurants in Myrtle Creek or Glendale or Yoncalla, you know, be open? And now I'm being contacted by national restaurant chains who they're saying that they might, this might be the last time that they can handle another shutdown. And they're talking about walking away from our local stores here. This could be a huge loss for Douglas County, Josephine. And I go back to the why. Why are they closed? And yet you can go to the big chain stores like Lowe's or Home Depot, stand in line, but you can't go to Elmer's, where they're extremely good about following all the COVID cleaning requirements, and their booths have dividers. You know, why is that?
What kind of response? I mean, you said you talked to the governor. I imagine over time you've talked to other officials for the Oregon Health Authority or some of the other agencies about this. Is it all falling on deaf ears?
So, Kyle, I'm so beyond frustrated with this whole process. Not only did I talk to her on Sunday, I've talked with the governor on multiple occasions. I even wrote a written request that the legislature be convened to work on these pandemic responses so that we can say exactly what I said. How about if we regionalize this? And I clearly believe this issue needs to be brought before one of the DHS subcommittees so we can review and understand the underlying pandemic statistics. And like I said, I totally agree with the commissioners. The closure of our small businesses does not match the infection sites. There's one, for example, Roseburg Police Department recently cited 17 minors for being in possession at a large house party. These large private gatherings need to be stopped, but they can't be legislated. The governor simply has been become entrenched with the idea that she's going to manage this with her executive orders to a one-size-fits-all. And as a legislature under the Oregon Constitution, there's nothing we can do. We are all being held hostage by the actions of the governor.
All right, more when we come back. State Representative Gary Leaf, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Back in 1 minute. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, with the Lawn and Garden Show. State Representative Gary Leaf with us now. And tomorrow, Melanie Frummer of Peace at Home Advocacy Center. They've got their virtual dance competition and big fundraiser event on Saturday. She'll tell you more about that and more about the work of Peace at Home, formerly Battered Persons Advocacy. All right, Gary Leaf with us now. Remind folks, one of the things, obviously, that's a big part of the legislature is dealing with the budget. It's structured kind of in a two-year cycle. Where are we at in this current cycle?
So right now, before all of our committees are these agencies that are coming before us. For example, last week and this week, we've been working on the OLCC budget, which has expanded from not just liquor, but now marijuana. And so they're going through their budget and they're trying to figure out how to streamline things, how to make it easier for the liquor stores with their, they want to do a warehouse expansion and for marijuana to do some different things. So they're just kind of going through their structure on human services. The committee I serve as vice chair, you know, we're going through the DHS budget. We went through foster kids the other day. I mean, there's just tons and tons of agency reports that we have to go through. And they have different KPMs they have to meet these that were set up by the legislature. And so they're going through and they're saying, you know, you set this at 90% and we've only made 70%. And so they have to explain why. So it's a long, tedious job. This is the third time I've been through this. And then at the end of it, we have a work session and we either change it, make amendments, or move it through to the full ways and means.
Now, it seems like probably procedurally with just being in the Capitol one day a week for now and not having everybody even there on those days, could the legislative session actually end up taking longer? Or might a special session be needed right after the regular session to get through everything?
No, I think we're doing fine. So most everything's just being the first readings of whatever new bills are coming up. And there might be 100 bills that come up on first reading. Then they go out to all the committees. And so there's really not anything we're voting for on the floors. We're basically just there to provide a quorum to do first readings. Now, on the 8th of March, we start going to 2 days. So we'll actually move up to Salem on the 7th, and we'll just be up there through probably, well, it'd be the end of June. And then they'll start as needed when they have, you know, enough. They'll go to 3 days and then 4 days, you know, just depending on what they have. But I think we're fine right now. Most all the work right now is done in the committees.
Do you think that the current situation with the trickiness, clunkiness, I guess is a good word for it, of trying to get public input will get improved at all during the session?
You know, there's some really good things that I think have come out of this. So, for example, if you wanted to come up and testify on a bill, you'd drive 2.5 hours by the time you got into the Capitol, testify for 3 to 5 minutes, and then you drive 2.5 hours back. So this right now it's really nice because you can just sign up and just say, I want to testify on this bill. You get on your computer and you testify and you're done. I want to carry that over once we get back into the Capitol, once we open up the Capitol. I want citizens to be able to do that without having to drive all the way to Salem and testify. I mean, if you're in Klamath Falls, you're like 10 hours to testify on a bill. And so that part of it I really like. The part I don't like, which we will be doing probably April, is actually opening up the Capitol so that people can walk through the hallways and go, you know, hey, Rep Leaf, hey, I want to talk to you about this. And you can walk over and talk to them, or they might send you a text message that says, can you step out of your committee meeting for a second? We've got a group from Roseburg here. You know, that part of it, I think, is where we need to be, you know, as the earliest we can possibly get there.
What about legislation you're working on?
Oh, my gosh, I've got so many bills that are going through right now. My K-14, we've talked about this in the past. My K-14 CTE bill is actually, it's been assigned to the Education Committee. I've got one of my staff persons, Larry Rich, working on that right now, trying to contact other legislators to sign up on this. There's, you know, I've got some, the OLCC owner agents compensation plan. This is a great plan for people in the metropolitan areas to be able to have a different compensation than the ones in the rural Oregon ones. I've got CASA funding, which is a huge one, broadband. I mean, I think I've got about 25 different bills.
Is there a limit to how many you can put forward in this session?
No.
And
as a matter of fact, Rep. Brock Smith has about 100 bills, and I have 25. So I'm proud of my 25. I don't know how he gets to 100.
I was thinking that maybe there was some kind of requirement this time for a smaller number of bills just because of the format of doing the session this year, but no, huh?
No, and once we've reached the date already, I think it was February 23rd, that all your bills need to be in, and then after that, you only get 5 priority bills. So from this point moving forward, and I've used one of those priority bills already for a tiny homes expansion in Roseburg to be able to help with housing, but now only have 4 left.
So what's ahead in the next few days for you in terms of legislative work?
It's just committee meetings. You know, it's just It's listening to most of the agencies who are coming before us right now. Public safety, we're going to hear a lot more from the different agencies on their funding requests. I heard from Multnomah County Courthouse yesterday that they're trying to finish up their final courthouse expansion. So there's just a lot of things that are coming on. House Committee on Water, there's a ton of stuff on that right now. So it's just moving forward with listening to agencies.
All right, just about out of time. Final thoughts for folks around Douglas County?
Really, I would just get on my Facebook, watch for my, I try and do a weekly newsletter update. It's pretty easy to read, but stay on course with that.
All right, State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on.
Hey, Kyle, always a pleasure. You have a great day.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.